Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Be the Man. And of course, we couldn't do it without the Hall of Famer, the greatest of all time, ladies and gentlemen, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Rick, how are you, man?
Woo! I'm great, thank you.
Man, I am great too. Excited to be with you. We have Thanksgiving in the rearview mirror, Christmas right around the corner. How was Thanksgiving, Rick?
Thanksgiving was phenomenal. I went to the Queen's place. It is absolutely, God, it's much more than I imagined it would be. It's beautiful. I didn't realize that they had built it from the ground up, very similar to what you're doing with your new place.
Yeah.
The lot was there, but they've actually, the house had just started when they bought it, so they built it. They were right there for the whole construction. It's phenomenal. Yeah, really in a beautiful area too.
Can't wait to see it. I heard a lot about it. Some of the folks who helped us, I think, made a trek down there and helped out a little bit down there. So can't wait to see how it all shook out.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. Big, beautiful yard. I mean, and right near that real, she's like one block away from the $5 million homes.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah, or you know, that area right there that, her other condo is nearby too, but it's absolutely beautiful.
Well, congratulations to her, and a shout out to Andrade, who recently revealed on social media that he just had surgery for a torn pectoral muscle.
Yeah, he'll be out 4 months.
A lot of people wondering, what's next for Andrade? What would you like to see Andrade do when he's fully healed? Were you enjoying what he was doing with Roosh and all those guys in AEW?
I like the stuff with Matt Hardy, but I don't think that they use him properly myself, but I'm going to be, you know, obviously biased. I think he's a much better singles performer than he is tag match. And, you know, it's to be determined. I don't know. I know that's a very sensitive tear. It was a bad tear. So he's going to be out a while with it.
Well, we're pulling for him and hope for a speedy recovery. And I guess we should also talk about the other big tag match that happened over the weekend. It was the Survivor Series. They brought back the War Games. Before we got there, we saw your man, AJ Styles, pin Finn Balor in an excellent match that went 18 minutes and 25 seconds.
And did I predict that?
Yes, you did.
Okay, thank you.
Austin Theory, maybe a little bit of an upset. He is your new United States champion. He beat Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley in a triple threat for the U.S. title. This is, as Bruce would say, a fresh coat of paint for Austin Theory. I know last week you had predicted it would be Seth Rollins, but
yeah.
Man, they're really trying something with Austin Theory. Have you had a chance to see much of his work? What do you think of Mr. Theory?
I have. I think it's pretty good. Yeah. I think he has a ways to go. I don't think he's in the same league as Seth Rollins yet. But, you know, he's right. Hey, to be up there in that position, they're all good. You know what I mean? And he's young. And the only way you find out what someone's got is to give him the opportunity. So he's got it now. And we'll see. We're talking about him a year from now. That's kind of the way I look at it.
The rather controversial match on the show was Ronda Rousey and Shotzi. Ronda Rousey retains in 7 minutes and 15 seconds, but there was a little bit of a backlash in more recent days. And it all started with a campaign to fire Ronda Rousey. There is a podcaster out there, JD from New York, who believes that Ronda Rousey is cancer for the SmackDown division. Doesn't think she's a good wrestler. Doesn't think she adds anything to the WWE. I think she's a real big star. And I think anytime you can get a real big star like that, it's worth a look. And I happen to maybe disagree. I understand that maybe she's not as good of an in-ring performer as some of the folks who've been wrestling their whole lives, but boy, she brings a lot of attention, I think, to WWE. Where do you land on Ronda Rousey?
I think Ronda's fabulous. And who doesn't like her again?
Well, there's an online contingent who really don't enjoy her in-ring work. And so it was actually trending for a while. It was top 10, I think, on Monday to fire Ronda Rousey. And I didn't follow that line of thinking. I definitely think that she adds something to the overall presentation and an air believability to the mainstream and whatnot. And, it's anytime you get that level of a star on your program on a regular basis, it's gotta be a net positive.
Oh, I have to agree. I like Ronda personally. I think, you know, sometimes these people need to look at who she's wrestling against. You know what I mean? You're not going to get the same match out of Ronda every time.
You know, well,
the opponent's got to be able to carry their weight too.
Well, and maybe some for her. I mean, you're maybe the world's best at that. I mean, back in the day, people would say that Ric Flair could have a 5-star match with a broom. And along the way, you made some really talented performers like Sting and Lex Luger, and not taking away anything away from those guys, but they were young in their career and you sort of brought them along. Ronda's had really good matches with folks like Charlotte, and maybe that's just where we need to be. She's got to be with somebody who's been around a lot longer than her, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes hand in hand, but getting back to your point, she brings a lot of notoriety.
Yes.
She's, you know, arguably, and I actually pay a lot of attention to it now because I've become close friends with Juliana Pena, but she's the biggest box office female star that they've ever had at UFC.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm including the Nunes girl that and they're trying to get a trilogy set up with her and Juliana, but she's kind of ducking Juliana right now. So, I mean, Ronda was just the biggest star. I mean, I couldn't wait to watch her. Like, very similar to me, couldn't wait to see Brock. You know what I mean?
Totally agree.
So I don't think she's ever gonna stop being a star. She's an attraction. She's Ronda by Guy Rousey, and once again, these people online, who are they?
Next up,
I heard they're a chant. We want Sasha.
That's
the match.
Exactly right. Yeah, the Boston crowd was ready for Sasha, and she posted something over the weekend that was showing, you know, some wrestling training, and she did hashtag WWE, hashtag AEW, and boy, it got everybody talking about, hey, what does that mean? What could this be? Dave Meltzer said the last he heard apparently was that there was a financial issue. So maybe they're still negotiating. It would be hard for me to imagine, given the fact that Hunter is now running the company, that Sasha doesn't wind up back with WWE. Would you agree?
Absolutely. She wouldn't go there. She'd been in Mexico wrestling too.
Yes.
I talked to her. I've talked to her a couple times.
And if you had to make a bet, you would bet on her winding back up in WWE?
Yeah. If she elects to do anything, she's looking at outside options.
Well, and she's certainly done so well outside of wrestling. You know, you take a look at just what she did in the Star Wars universe, and I mean, she could live on that on the convention circuit for a long, long time. You know, between what she's accomplished in the ring and just, you know, in the mainstream. Yeah. So,
well, she's so young. I hope that she gets back into business. I mean, you know, she has plenty of time, but And I, you know, to me, I keep telling she's Ricky Steamboat and Ashley's me. That doesn't get any better. When the two of them work, there's not a better female match ever, anywhere, anytime.
I totally agree. And if you're not
I don't have a problem saying this. They are the two premier female wrestlers that I've ever seen in my entire life.
I don't think you'll get much pushback on that.
No, I don't. I don't see they're pushing back. They're talking to the wrong guy.
We saw Team Bel Air pick up a win at the Survivor Series War Games. It was Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim, and Becky Lynch. They beat Team Bayley. And then the main event, what was last? And man, I don't know what I expected, but I was thoroughly entertained. They went nearly 39 minutes. The Bloodline would beat the Brawling Brutes, which was made up of Sheamus, Ridge Holland, Butch, Drew McIntyre, and Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. And it was all about a story for Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn is a guy who I think maybe has had his best year ever. You know, he certainly exceeded expectations at his WrestleMania match with Johnny Knoxville and the Jackass crew. Fun is probably the word to use there. But now what he's done with the Bloodline and then the storytelling on this one show, I just think, man, Sami Zayn's stock is maybe higher than ever. But it does make you wonder, where do they go from here? It feels as if the eventual outcome here is going to be Sammy as a massive baby face. Maybe when the Bloodline turns on him, how do you see that playing out for Sammy? And what'd you think of the performance?
Well, at first I was very open about it. I didn't even like him being with the Bloodline.
Yeah.
I thought he diluted it, but I know in sitting and talking with Booker T, it just, everybody looked at it differently. I was with Booker T in New York at an autograph session, and Booker thinks the sun rises and falls on the guy. So,
yeah.
I just, for looking at Roman and what the Bloodline is and how they conduct themselves, I found him way too, bringing way too much comedy to it, but apparently it's worked. So that maybe that's me being old school, but when you got a serious character like the Usos who, you know, I don't even think to argue with the best tag team right now in business. As heels, the Usos that can really, when they're healthy, can really work. And Roman is over like nobody else. And I didn't like it because I thought the kid's very—he's comical. His character's comical,
right?
Yeah. If he gets heat with me, you can imagine how many of the it gets heat with the Marks.
Well, there is a rumor out there that perhaps. Through the course of that match on Saturday in Boston, the main event of the Survivor Series during that Bloodline War Games match, Kevin Owens perhaps accidentally burst the eardrum of Roman Reigns. And there was some hurt feelings coming out of that. Now, that's just been whispers online. I haven't spoken to anyone to know for sure that that's what's happened, but things like that, is that, especially with the eardrum, do you remember there being circumstances? We've heard stories about Steve Corino and homicide and perhaps Greg the Hammer Valentine and Roddy Piper.
I've had mine broken. Michael Hayes broke mine.
Okay. Tell us about that.
You get up and go. Christ. It ain't no big deal unless it causes equilibrium problems, which I don't think my equilibrium problems all those years later came from Michael Hayes breaking mine in Miami. I can remember when he did it.
Right.
But you know, times were different. We didn't take any time off. We went right to work. As a matter of fact, I had to wrestle Michael an hour that night. So I'm sure he remembers it. He broke first thing. It was the first cut into the match.
Wow.
You know, not intentionally, but I'm sure knowing Kevin and thinking what a great guy he is, I'm sure Kevin didn't smack Roman intentionally trying to break his eardrum.
Oh, no, I can't imagine that.
No.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, It's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The other big news last week actually happened the day before Thanksgiving. It was a very special edition of AEW Dynamite from Chicago. And it was really a test because we saw in CM Punk's hometown of Chicago.
Yeah.
How was AEW going to handle this? We saw a six-man tag with the Elite. Of course, that's the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. They were taking on the Death Triangle. We think a lot of the Lucha Bros, and of course, Pac is with them. And man, what a match they had. It's a best of seven series. It sort of feels old school in that regard, you know, like Nikita and Magnum back in the day, except boy, with the volume turned all the way up. But they did a lot of little things in the match to sort of troll CM Punk and rile up that hometown Chicago crowd. And the internet, as a result, was convinced, or a lot of folks online, oh, this means CM Punk is coming back. What'd you think of that? And
I didn't see it. Well, you and I talked about it. I did not see it. So was the crowd chanting, "We want Punk"?
Well, and they were upset with the Elite too. And I think it's an interesting time because, you know, in wrestling, everybody wants to believe there's maybe a conspiracy theory and there's maybe more to it than what there really is. And
the Elite being,
Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm curious to see what happens next. I don't think it was any sort of an invitation for there to be a CM Punk return. I could be wrong on that. I hope I am. I'd like to see him do more in wrestling, but it doesn't feel that way. But it is interesting because it almost feels like on some level you just want to leave well enough alone, but that's not what happened. And man, it got everybody talking, and you can see there sort of mocking the whole bite situation from quote unquote brawl out. Kenny Omega.
Oh yeah.
Gonna bite in the middle of the match.
God.
I mean, listen, if you're, inside baseball, yeah, there it is.
I like that.
I had a feeling you might.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, there again, like I said, in my opinion, if you're trying to get rid of a guy and if they're not going to be there, it's like if Sasha has decided definitely not to be at WWE, they don't want the crowd chanting Sasha, okay?
Right.
I think my take on this would be if the WWE had a deal pending with Sasha, why would they turn it down?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They'd want it to be that. And you know what? It's up to the girls in the ring that they're chanting to make the match better.
Right.
Being Ronda and Shotzi, right?
Yep.
So maybe the match wasn't that good. I didn't see it. But if they're chanting just because it's their hometown and they have a deal pending, why would they care if she's chanting?
Well, everybody was chanting this past weekend. It was a big WrestleCade weekend. I know you've enjoyed some WrestleCade festivities in the past.
I mean, do you agree with that, though, or not?
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, like, if you know somebody's coming back, you want to play into it.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody thinks that CM Punk is coming back, and they sort of played into it. So that's a lot of eyebrows.
Yeah, and the fact that I don't think they have a deal worked out, like I wish they would, because I'm a big fan of hers. But I think if they had a deal worked out with her, that they would want the crowd chanting, "We want her." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because when she hears that, she doesn't have a deal. She's no more laughing. Because you know she's watching.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So she just...
The wrestling world was watching this past Sunday, right after WrestleCade was complete over in Winston-Salem. And shout out to all those folks who do a great job every year now, 10 years in a row. A bunch of wrestling fans made the trek to Raleigh, North Carolina, to the now famed Dorton Arena, and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat returned. They were careful not to call it his last match, but he was back in the ring for the first time in quite a while. I think he originally retired back in 1994. He had a classic with you at Spring Stampede that year, but later in the year decided he needed to hang it up. Did pop back up for a little bit here and there with Ring of Honor and WWE with some in-ring stuff, but this was his first match back, if you will, tagging with FTR, who we both think a lot of, to take on Black Machismo, aka Jay Lethal, dressed up like the Macho Man, Brock Anderson, who we both think has a bright future ahead of him, and a mystery opponent. The mystery opponent wound up being Nick Aldis. We'll come back and talk about Aldis. I want to ask, did you have a chance to see the Ricky the Dragon Steamboat match?
I did not. And that is not to slight anybody. I just want, it's football season. I watch football.
Yeah.
You know, I do watch, like, I watch Raw. I watched Raw last night. I watch SmackDown. I watch AEW if I'm not traveling. Like, this week, I probably won't get to see it because I'm in Miami for 3 days. But I always watch SmackDown and Raw just to see what's going on so that I can have somewhat of an intelligent conversation with you. And I watch AEW. I don't watch the Friday show very often, though.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, back in the ring. Were you surprised that he stepped back through the ropes earlier this year? There was maybe some trepidation about whether or not he felt like he wanted to do that. We saw it happen this past Sunday. Do you think that's probably it for Ricky? Have you spoke to him? Do you think he's got more in him? What would you guess?
I have not spoken to him. So I don't know the answer to that. I spoke to him when we were trying to get him to work with us, but you know, he indicated to me back then that he didn't think that health-wise he was ready to do it. So I'm, you know, it's what makes him feel good. It's like I say about myself. I could wrestle again right now, too, and I'd be a lot better than I was at the last match, because when you're gone away from that long, you forget about little things that make a difference, and you spend so much time getting in shape for it that you don't think about, you know, little things like dehydrating and, you know, beating your nerves. And, yeah. And I was just, you know, so into the training part of it, I forgot about little things. But I think he should do what he wants to do. I mean, he's Ricky Steamboat. There's nobody ever going to be, it's only going to be one Ricky Steamboat. And whether he did good or did bad, it's not going to affect his legacy. He's the best babyface in the history of the business. And he always will be.
The other best baby face in the history of the business maybe did have his last tag team match. We'll talk about that in a minute. First, I want to talk about the rest of the folks who rounded out this 6-man tag for Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's return. Dax of FTR might be having his best year of his career. He's even got another big test this coming week, or I guess it's tomorrow as everybody is, or tonight rather, as everybody's listening to this, he's going to be taking on Bryan Danielson.
Oh, good.
Bryan Danielson. That's about as old school and fun, down and dirty classic wrestling. I'm pumped for that one. I know you'll be in Miami, but I'm going to be glued to the set for that one.
I may be, cause I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I'll try and watch that.
And then of course, I wanted to give a shout out to Jay Lethal, who, man, the little kid in Jay Lethal must be having the best year ever.
I got the greatest Thanksgiving text from him ever.
Oh, really?
Yep. He said, think about me and my career. I've got to wrestle you, Sting, and now I'm going to be in the ring with Steamboat.
In the same year.
In the same year. Yeah. He texted me that. Thank you.
That's awesome, man.
At Thanksgiving. Yeah. So it was, he's a great kid. I didn't get to see the match. Well, it had got Lethal, who's really good, and FTR was really good, and Nick is real good. Probably a lot of pressure on Brock, but I'm glad that's how you mature and that's how you get better.
Absolutely.
You know, it's really not fair to judge anybody that's had, like you said, 18 matches. So, but that's how you get better, being around guys that have had a lot more ring time. So, I didn't get to see the match with the good.
Yeah, man, they did a great job. I think it exceeded all expectations. I think everybody who was there in the crowd went home happy. It was just cool to see the Dragon back doing his thing.
Yeah, of course.
It was really nice to see Nick Aldis. It feels like we've seen Nick Aldis inside the WWE or NWA rather framework. And so we've only seen like the NWA presentation of Nick Aldis for quite a while.
Yeah.
To see him outside of there for the first time in a while is pretty exciting. And now there's lots of debate. I think everybody knows that he's a free agent and he's got maybe a month left. And I think maybe next year he's ready to go wherever.
Yeah. And I
now
hope
people
so.
Are wondering, will that be WWE? Will that be AEW? Will that be somewhere else? What would you like to see Nick Aldis do?
Oh, I'd love to see him come to WWE. Yeah. All right, I'd be happy to see him go to AEW. I mean, like, you can't go wrong either way. It's just who's going to pay him the most. And then I would, as a talent, he has to look where he thinks he has the best opportunity.
Of course.
It's a lot of competition right now with WWE in the men's division. I mean, Randy hasn't come back yet. Cody hasn't come back yet. You've got Seth, Roman. I mean, well, they've got a lot of competition over at AEW, too, with FTR and, Omega. I like him as a single a lot. I like Dean Ambrose. I mean, Danielson. There's a lot of good talent in both companies. You know, which is good for the business, good for the guys to have the opportunity.
We recently saw some news from Fightful that said that Randy Orton did indeed have fusion surgery on his lower back. And a lot of people wondered, does that mean he'll even be able to return? And then I think Bob Orton Jr., Randy's father, did an interview at a virtual signing. And he mentioned that Randy's coming along. Quote, I see him maybe once a week or so, but he's coming along. He'll be back in here before you know it.
I talk to him all the time.
That's great.
Yeah, I asked him to talk about the surgery because I didn't think he wanted me to share it. But yeah, he'll be back better than ever. There's a look of a great wrestler. Look at him. he just looks good. I mean, he carries himself very. I think him and Roman will be huge. I think him and Cody will be huge. I mean, there's some really big matches. Like when the Queen comes back. I mean, God, I would like to see Bianca Belair, but I mean, there's some great matches for her too when she comes back. You know, when you're great. It's like Randy and like the Queen are, the opportunities are endless. There's always someone that wants to be you or thinks they can be you. And until they are, you know, good luck trying. She could wrestle till she was 100 years old. Be better than 95% of the girls there.
Wow.
I mean, I watch the show. I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm just saying that's how good she is. Same with Sasha. You got two that just stand out, and this is not belittling anybody, but not everybody can be Tom Brady, not everybody can be Aaron Rodgers, not everybody can be Jimmy Brown, not everybody can be LeBron James. I mean, there's going to be some that are just better than others,
right?
And that's just the fact of the way it is in life. Not everybody can be Conrad Thompson, and we got when they see my documentary, they're going to say, for goddamn sure, not everyone can be the Nature Boy.
I can't wait. Well, you said 95% a minute ago, and it made me think of another tweet that went pretty viral as we're recording this 4 days ago. Glenn Gilberti, the former Disco Inferno, tweeted out, 95% of modern-day wrestlers have no clue how to get over. And that created a lot of debate online. I'm curious to get your take on that, Rick. Let me say it again, see what you think. 95% of modern-day wrestlers have no clue how to get over.
Okay, I'm going to play something for you. Okay?
All right.
Can you guys see that? What year do you think that was?
1989.
I coined the phrase, I am the man. Woo! Diamonds are forever. And so is Ric Flair. Woo!
That's how you get over. Let me see. If in 1989 I was calling myself a man, let me think. I don't know. What does that mean? Just having fun.
Well, we do every
week. I noticed somebody else is calling themselves a man again. That just kills me.
I wonder who you're talking about. So what do you think of this guy saying that, man? Do you agree with that? 95% of modern day wrestlers have no clue how to get over.
Well, first of all, Disco shouldn't have an opinion.
Excuse me. I love you for that.
I love Disco, but no, but here's what I think probably what he's saying is they don't have to get over anymore because the company gets you over.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, it's not up to you to get over like it is in the old days. So it's already unfair. You're an unfair advantage because you're not put in a position of you're put in a position of learning how to utilize your skills. The company makes the decision whether you're going to get over or not. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, listen, if they're behind you, it's going to happen. If they're not, maybe it's not.
That's right. In the old days, if you were so damn good, they couldn't hold you back. You went with it, right?
Right.
Nowadays, the company, the promotion has to get behind you. And if they don't, no matter how good you are, you ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
But for the most part,
the other thing too is, you know,
for the most part, if you're good, the company gets behind you. Unless you've got some serious problems with them politically, why wouldn't they get behind you? It just makes them money.
You take a look at like the size of the roster now versus the size of the roster when you were first coming up and getting over, you know, whether it was 81 or 89 or anywhere in between, the roster is much larger than it was back then. I mean, you Absolutely. Guys used to run shows where you would have 12 guys on the whole damn thing. Some guys would pull double duty, blah, blah, blah. That's just not the circumstance now.
No. Well, we had, in the 80s, we had 30 guys on the card. Easy. Think about a lot of six mans, a lot of tag matches. I would say we had at least 25 to 26 people on the card back in the 80s, in the heydays.
The idea, though, that you've got 100 people at TV, that's tough.
Oh, no. I meant we would take on the road.
Yes.
Like the Great American Bash on tour, we'd have 8 matches. So yeah. So let's say 2 of them are tags. Yeah, you said like 20, 22, 24 people.
Yeah.
And of course, nowadays, it's like, and I get it why they do it, but it's very hard. They give everybody a spot on WrestleMania because they feel like everybody that's put in the time and the effort to get to WrestleMania, whether they're the main event or not, they want to try and make everybody happy. And I commend them for that. It didn't work like that in the old days. You had to be one of the wannabe people to get there, or they had no problem with you at home.
Well, the Great American Bash, the good old days, I can't help but think about the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah.
This past weekend, they had what many people believe will be their very last tag match. It was their return to Dorton Arena. If that was really it, how fitting that it happened in Dorton Arena. And you mentioned earlier, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, arguably the greatest babyface of all time. I think a lot of people would put Ricky Morton in that same category. What a phenomenal career. What a phenomenal tag team. What do you think the Rock and Roll Express legacy will be in professional wrestling?
One of the top 10 teams of all time. And Ricky Morton, like you just said, one of the top 10 babyfaces of all time. Nothing against Robert. Ricky just had a different look. He looked more vulnerable. And he just had that, Ricky just had that little arrogant little attitude. I mean, he carried himself with a lot of swagger. Does that make sense? And I guess you're saying this because Robert is hurt badly, right?
Well, I don't know all the details. I just know that moving forward, I think Ricky would like to do some tags with his son, who Kerry Morton, who recently became the junior heavyweight champion for the NWA. And I think Robert's probably going to take a little time off or maybe enjoy some signings and whatnot. I don't know all the particulars.
I thought he had a real bad ankle. Whatever. I mean, I hope it's nothing worse than that, but I just think he needs to heal up. Yeah. So never say never, but they're going to go down as one of the top 10 teams. And that's a lot to be remembered as one of the top 10 teams. They're in the Hall of Fame. Well-deserved. You know, I still can't figure out why Condrey and Eaton aren't, but.
Well, you got to think Condrey, Eaton, and Lane are going in with Jim Cornette at some point, right?
But why? Why would they wait so long? Bobby's gone.
Right.
I don't get. They're putting in people left and right that are far less qualified and have done a lot less for the business than they did.
Yeah, no doubt.
But they weren't WWE guys either, so I don't know how that works. I wish Tony would start a Hall of Fame. It would create a lot of interest and do it based on people that he thinks are good in the history of the business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not just guys from AEW last 3 years.
Right.
Yeah, that would actually draw a lot of attention if he had his own Hall of Fame. I think.
Well, that's a good idea. I hadn't even considered Tony doing something like that, but he has the means to do it and the passion to do it.
The means, the passion. He loves wrestling, and why not? And he's in a good mood because the Jaguars are playing good. So there you go.
How about that? Did you see that? The Jags beating the Ravens? I didn't expect that.
I'll tell you what. Getting rid of Urban Meyer was the best thing that ever happened to him. And Doug Peterson's a hell of a coach. I mean, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl, and because he didn't win two in a row, got fired. That's how football is these days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they walk away with a $10 million buyout. So it's crazy. I mean, I'm wondering, and you're a sports fan like me, we're getting away from wrestling. How does Urban Meyer get back on TV? After all the shit he's been in.
Well, if we're going to talk about all the shit people have been in, can you believe that Auburn hired Hugh Freeze? I mean, this is a guy who
beat Alabama twice.
And then he started calling up escort services and got fired.
He did what?
He used the company phone to hire escorts.
Has that been proven?
That's against the rules. You know, they don't like that.
Has that been proven?
I don't know all the details. I do think it's hilarious that after one season.
I thought that was Rick Pitino at Louisville.
I think you're thinking of a different coach.
Who am I thinking of?
Pitino.
Oh, no. Pitino.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought his name was Bobby Pitino.
No, that's the coach from Arkansas.
I know he is.
The football coach.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm talking about Rick Pitino, the basketball coach at Louisville.
I'm with you, but we'll talk about it off air. It doesn't matter.
Bobby Pitino and Rick Pitino are two different things. What? Rick Pitino, Bobby is the one that crashed on a motorcycle with a secretary.
Yes. Yes. Let's move along.
They both make me look damn good.
I'm going to say by comparison, you know, I just think it's funny that Auburn felt like a lot of the boosters after year one felt like maybe
if you're going to call a hooker, you got to do it on the house line.
These are pro tips from the nation boy
at a hotel.
My goodness. Who even has a home call?
If you're smart, you do it from a payphone.
A payphone? Where would you even find a payphone in 2022?
I don't know. I'd find one if I had.
My goodness.
Cool. Daddy, you can buy those burners too.
Yeah. You've been hanging out with the wrong people again.
No, right? I've been watching TV. I'm getting all this new stuff.
Burner. Look at you. The only burners you know about are Ric Flair drip. And by the way, I want to mention, just in time for the holidays, if you haven't already, can I recommend you check out RicFlairShop.com? A lot of new stuff just got uploaded. It's the perfect gift for the Ric Flair fan in your life.
Wendy, it's plugging RicFlairShop.com.
You got coloring books, you got media, you got posters, you got home accessories. You need a hat? You got hats. You want some limited edition prints? You got that. You need t-shirts, hoodies? What are you looking for? It's all available now at RicFlairShop.com.
Holy cow, Wendy's plugging you hard.
And look, there it is right there. There's a new order coming in from RicFlairShop.com. Don't forget, if you go ahead and get your order in right now, it'll be under the tree in time for Christmas. That's RicFlairShop.com. And before we get into our topic today, because we're having a lot of fun talking about current stuff, I do want to squeeze in a little bit of our topic. But I wanted to bring up one more last thing about current stuff. There was a bit of a debate this past week about what has been the biggest story in wrestling this year. Is it the return of Stone Cold Steve Austin to the ring? Is it the press conference and the brawl after All Out that we call Brawl Out with CM Punk and the Elite? Or is it Vince McMahon retiring? In my opinion, it's kind of a landslide. It's Vince McMahon.
Yes.
The scandal and then stepping away. That might be the biggest story in decades in wrestling. What say you?
Well, I would say, until you brought that up, hands down, it'd be Steve Austin. But that itself with Vince trumped it all. So nobody saw it coming and out of nowhere. I'm very I'm heartbroken that he's not there anymore. I mean, I don't know the story. I don't know any more than you do, but I just know that he lived and loved that business. I hope that he's, you know, finding his way without it. Cause when you put so much time into it, I mean, I know how it's still hard for me to walk away from it. I mean, I still like to watch it. I still like to be part of it. I'm looking forward to going to the 30th anniversary. And by the way, of course, social media screwed that up. I have not been invited to the Rumble. I'm going to San Antonio to sign autographs separately with Fitterman the day of the Rumble.
Yes.
I was not invited to the Rumble. However, if they want me to put my gear on like a last match and, you know.
Listen to you. A little surprise, number 30.
Yeah, why not? Got a river blow off. Woo-woo.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Our topic today...
Ta-da!
Oh my gosh.
Can you get a robe made by then?
You know I can. And I got one hanging on the wall right here that people have seen on A&E. Let's talk about our topic today. We've got 20 minutes left or so in our show. We always try to go about an hour. And I know you love talking about the current stuff, but I want to give a little love and talk about one of the greatest of all time. He was the guy who was leading the charge on the other channel. Of course, we're talking about Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
And when you think about classic old school professional wrestling, most of the folks listening to this think about the 1980s. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of analogies out there over the years, but you really had two sides of the coin here. The WWF and all the glitz and glamour and maybe a more cartoonish approach that was aimed at kids for action figures and lunchboxes and sleeping bags and all that. And then on the other side, you had the NWA. And everybody knows that the king of the NWA back then was the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And you guys were really the icons of the 1980s. And then it finally happened. 1991, you guys get to square off. But that's not the first time you met Hulk. When's the first time you met Hulk Hogan?
79, Atlanta TV. He was a Sterling Golden on his way to Memphis.
And that's before you actually became the world champ too. So you're still on your ascent and you guys are just trying to make a name for yourself and you cross paths in 79. Wow. How about that?
Yeah. It was 79. I'm pretty sure we can check with him. I talked to him quite a bit. So we just live 40 miles apart, but it's that damn going across that causeway and that, but he's doing well. I just bought another home and he's got a new girl and he's, you know, I hear different stories, but as of recently, he's in much better health than he has been.
That's great. But
by that, I mean, I think his back is a little bit better than that. I don't mean health-wise, like internal problems, but that his darn
back. He just had a bunch of back surgeries, right?
Yeah, terrible. 10, I think 10. Not one, not two or three, but 10 over the last probably 5 years.
It's crazy to think about, you know, what he put his body through, because those WWF rings people have talked about for years were just so damn hard. And you wrestled in rings from Japan to Australia to Jim Crockett Promotions to Vince McMahon's WWF. People would say that that ring was by far the hardest. It was almost like falling on concrete. That at 300 pounds. St. Louis had the harder ring?
Hardest ring in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, St. Louis, you'd kill yourself. Dory Funk Jr. told me, he said, if you want to get over in St. Louis, take bumps. Because Harley Race is the only one who does it. The truth. Take a slam off the top, and that ring, it like landing on cement.
Oh, God.
And if you look back on over the history of it, that was the greatest thing Dory could have told me. because while you got on it, you went, holy Christ. And I can remember Jerry Blackwell?
Yeah.
And what do they call that? The Samoan drop, where like Kurt, you know, Kurt does it too, right? Where they put you on their shoulders and then drop back with you.
Yeah.
That Jerry Blackwell, that was a finisher, right?
Yeah.
I swear to God, he gave it to me in the St. Louis ring. I thought it killed me. I'm not kidding you. That much, that's how hard that ring was.
Wow.
And Jerry was about 400 pounds.
So to do that at Hogan's weight, the leg drop, oh, all those years, I mean, every match ended with a leg drop, the compression on the spine, it's probably no wonder that he's had to have all these surgeries on his back.
Yep.
But you want to talk about box
office. That's what he gets for beating everybody.
I love you for that. Let that be a lesson to you.
And ain't from, and it ain't from taking backdrops. I can assure you that.
Well, that's fair.
Hey, I tell him that too. I said to Steve, what the hell can you have a bad back for, man? All you do is take a flat mirror from me.
Were you, I mean, he, much like a lot of guys in that era, enjoyed his first success for the AWA. And Hulkamania really started there. And then, of course, it went to New York and Vince McMahon just set it on fire. When you're watching, you're the top dog of the NWA. And it's almost even hard to imagine because you take a look at current NWA and current WWE. But once upon a time, the NWA was the premier organization.
Oh, fire
and the away. WWF was just a territory. But boy, with Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan working together, that changed pretty quickly, did it not?
Yeah. But you know, the real story is that he sold out. He and Nick Bockwinkel sold out the big building they used in Minneapolis territory at the time was the St. Paul, the brand new building with like a Timberwolves play or whatever it is. And I don't know where they play now, but back then the big building like held like 18,000. They sold it out three times. They wouldn't put the belt on Hogan, and Hogan just got mad and he went to Japan. And while he was in Japan, Vince contacted him. So he went back to Minneapolis and said, I want the merchandise. I want all this stuff, you know, that he knew he would get if he went. And Vern said no. And he just left, never came back. But you can't blame Hulk for leaving. My God.
No.
Good. Go with money is, I mean, it's a hard business, but you think it's tough now. Back then, can you imagine if we had merchandise? We didn't have any merchandise. We didn't know how to do that.
Right.
The Four Horsemen, what kind of merchandise would we have had then? I mean, you know what I mean? It's just crazy. Same with Steamboat or Magnum TA or Dusty. My God, who wouldn't have a Dusty T-shirt? You know what I'm saying? And so I can't blame Hulk at all for that. And Hulk's a smart one thing. Hulk is a very smart businessman. And he used to say to me all the time, brother, it's not about who's the best worker, but who makes the most money.
Well, there you go. Well said. Yep.
Yeah. Great saying. Not about who's the best worker, it's about who makes the most money. It's a great saying.
When you're taking a look at the phenomenon that the WWF creates with Hulkamania and the LJN action figures and the Saturday morning cartoons, Saturday night's main event on NBC, and then WrestleMania, is there a tinge of what if or jealousy on your side? Like, man, I could do that. Why am I not there?
No, being the NWA champion was still, if I looked at the group of guys that I knew the best, including guys like DiBiase that were up there in that, they all would have died to be the NWA champion.
Okay.
I mean, you got to look at the guys that have worn it. I mean, Terry and Dory, Jack Briscoe, Gene Kaniski, Buddy Rogers, Harley Race, Dusty. I mean, shit. You know, I mean, it's a different time. Even though it was a vote, it was a legitimate vote.
Right.
You know, who was the best? Who couldn't, you know, it was like, who can we trust to work every day of the week, every day of the month, every month of the year? Sometimes twice on Saturday, sometimes twice on Sunday, and wrestle an hour every night. That's the greatest compliment you can ever get.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what anybody thinks. I don't got to tell my story walking or any people that understand what the business was about. And there are historians like Taker and Austin, people like that. They get it. They know.
Yeah.
It was hard being the world champion, but it was the greatest honor in the world.
And well, you some, finally get your and, opportunity.
And in some towns, there were good-looking women, and in some towns, not so good-looking.
Oh, my gosh.
But they were women. I had two titles to hold. Good Lord.
Well.
Yeah, he came to town, and God damn did he ever.
Those Broadways were happening in the afternoon and the evening.
Who was that masked man?
Sting. Now Sting. We finally get to see you square off against Hulk Hogan. And I think a lot of folks just remember going to the grocery store with their mom, or at least I do. And you see the newsstand and all those different after mags, as we called them.
Yeah.
You've got all these fantasy matches. What if this guy fought that guy? And I mean, it happened like clockwork, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90. It was always, what if Ric Flair wrestled Hulk Hogan? We finally get to see it in 1991. It's October 22nd at a goddamn house show in Dayton, Ohio, the Hera Arena, which unfortunately is no longer with us. But yes, that's the same building we saw ECW run pay-per-views. They hosted the first ever Ric Flair Hulk Hogan match. And then 3 days later, we did it again in Oakland, California.
Yep.
And then we did it at the LA Sports Arena on the 26th.
Yep.
The 27th, we did it in Tempe, Arizona. And we wouldn't try it again until November, where we would try it in Pittsburgh. We tried it in Milwaukee. We tried it in Moline and Champaign, Illinois. We tried it in Denver. We tried it in Cincinnati. And it starts to feel like we're doing this match over and over and over, but we never see it on TV. Like, these are all house shows. These are all live events. I'm curious, what was it like to finally be in the ring with Hulk? Did you feel the emotion from the crowd? Did it feel like a big deal?
Yeah, it was huge. I had been in a ring with the guys that were as over as Hulk, but not as over on a national basis like him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Wrestling Kerry Von Erich in Dallas, that was about as high as you can get. Or wrestling Steamboat in Charlotte or Greensboro or anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic, right? Wrestling Dusty in Atlanta, huge. I mean, or Miami. I've been in some big, really big time guy over matches, but I got to admit, when Hogan's music hit, like in Chicago and that, it was insanity. And it was so easy. We had really good chemistry. Took us about 3 matches to figure it out. He told me he didn't press slam like Luger and I. He gave me his side of the story, and I gave him mine. And I said, "Hey, I'll do whatever you want. I'm very limited. I just chop a guy, I drop a knee in his head, I cut myself, and I'm easy to beat." Right. And we got along great, and we'd be at house shows, and the show would be running late. He'd holler at me, "Room service." That means we got 50. We got throw me in right in the middle of the match, give me the boot, drop a leg, we go home. And we'd make time for room service at the hotel.
I love it.
I only trumped him one time. He came to St. Louis one time. He didn't have the belt, and I was NW champion. And we went out to the same bar, and oh, yeah. I won. You.
I don't know what to say here.
Just say, "Mother-in-law." I went, "Hey, you, me or Hogan?" "You, nature boy."
What is wrong with you?
Ask him. That AWA shit wasn't cutting it in St. Louis.
I just love the idea of you guys finally getting in the ring together.
Yeah.
And of course, we all anticipated, well, this is going to happen at WrestleMania. And of course, it didn't happen at WrestleMania. But what stuck out like a sore thumb to me is we would see you guys do this match all over the country. And perhaps I would just think, man, the Omni, when you guys do this in the Omni, you're going to have people hanging from the rafters. We see a photo there of when it happened in Madison Square Garden, but the Omni, that feels like old, you know, Jim Crockett Promotions territory.
They didn't buy it.
4,500 people showed up to the Omni to see Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan.
It's because they wouldn't. We used to have to put sound bites in. He won't be upset that I'm saying this. We had to put sound bites in at center stage because they booed him out.
Oh, the local fans, they weren't Hulk Hogan people.
No. But you know, the first time we really got him to boo me, and it worked, and it's great. And I didn't know that pay-per-view was what launched Nitro. Since then, Hulk have told me. Of course, Eric would never tell me that or pay me rightfully. Was the match we had in Orlando with Shaq and me and Sherry against him and Jimmy. And I do think we had a good match that day. It was entertaining. It's never going to be, you know, like a technical, not going to be me and Steamboat or Seth and Manny or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not nearly as technical, but we had great chemistry. Sherry added so much to it. And that pay-per-view is what launched Nitro.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yep. You've told me that here on the show before.
Yeah. And I didn't know it till Hogan told me.
It's crazy.
That was the first time that he was a real legitimate babyface, and I was the heel. But it took us a while to get there.
The first matchup, as we mentioned, Dayton, Ohio, October 22nd, 1991. When you come back and you do it in Oakland, there's 13,400 paying fans to see Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. In Los Angeles, there's 12,400 to see the match. When you go to Tempe, Arizona, there's only 5,600. And I don't know. It's just amazing to me to think about this thing wasn't a bigger hit on the road.
Because nobody knew who I was out there. We didn't have the saturation from cable. Turner's cable wasn't nearly what it is today in terms of saturation. They didn't know who I was.
Champaign, Illinois, 6,300 fans. Denver, Colorado, 6,400 fans. Cincinnati, 6,000 fans. Boston, well, you didn't do it in Boston. That was you and Piper. I'm just saying.
Boston was sold out the night for the Royal Rumble.
In 1992, that's what I wanted to mention. 6,000 folks in Hamilton, up in Ontario.
That's a good crowd. That's a good crowd for Hamilton.
You're exactly right, though. You and Hogan had a 15,000 person sellout January 18th in Boston.
Yep.
Do any of those matches stick out? I think the first one, maybe it was in Oakland. It was either in Oakland or Dayton. It was like title versus title. You had the big gold belt. He had the Winged Eagle title, and it looked like they were going to make you the winner. You hold up both belts. Then they reveal it's a dusty finish. The belt didn't really change hands.
Yeah.
What was the reaction when you guys pulled that angle and you held up both belts? Longtime wrestling fans had to be like, I can't believe my eyes here. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it got over, but like I said, the problem, I'm the first to admit this. I never was a big card in New York.
Okay.
I mean, I just wasn't, I didn't have enough TV. Now, if you put me in that situation now, I mean, I thought I was over much better when I was in my mid-50s there than I was when in 92, because Turner's TV was Ohio, anywhere from Miami all the way to Charlotte, to Baltimore, to Philadelphia. After that, we were very lame. That's why when we started going to Philadelphia, to the small arena, they would sell out the Spectrum. We would sell out the small arena. Does that make sense? We couldn't get in the Spectrum, or we would have, we all would meet together. One of the few times during the year we'd cross paths. Of course, we sold out the Pavilion in Chicago. They sold out Rosemont. I mean, so.
Right.
But in all fairness to Hogan, I was not over on their TV at all when we first started. And I think that disheartened them a little bit in terms of maybe the WrestleMania thing, but I just wasn't over. in California. I mean, the first time we went with Crockett, we sold out all those buildings. Second time, half a crowd. Unbelievable. I can remember them all. We took war games out there and everything, and yeah, we drew enough money to keep, but like I've said 1,000 times, you've heard me say it, we should have stayed east of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
Not that we'd be in business now, but I mean, it would have been in business a lot longer.
Well, I want to ask this because a lot of old school wrestling fans discuss it all the time. You're regarded as being 1A or 1B, greatest of all time in-ring performer. Of course, people throw around Shawn Michaels' name as the other part of that equation. But they often take shots at Hulk Hogan and say, oh, he couldn't do this, he couldn't do that. Hulk Hogan loyalists would say, hey, did you see his work in Japan? That dude could wrestle. It just wasn't necessary for him to be a top card in the WWF. You were in the ring with him. What was the truth? How was Hulk in the ring?
Great. He didn't have to do all that shit.
Yeah.
And Japan was a war. By the way, Japan was a good payoff. But Japan, you were fighting every night.
Right.
When he and I were going there in the '80s, you think I like wrestling Jumbo and up. I mean, I like wrestling Tenryu and Fujinami and that, but wrestling Jumbo was a full-fledged fist fight.
Right.
For an hour. And he was an Olympic caliber wrestler. I couldn't do anything with him. But he couldn't beat me up. I mean, I'm not implying that, but I can't beat a 6'4" guy. I think he won a bronze medal in Greco. But he threw me around like a rag doll. But it was a fight. I mean, we made money and we had fun and we drank beer, but Tenryu, Muda, guys like that were great. But for everyone like that, it was a guy that was very difficult in the ring with. They don't like to sell.
Right. Well, we love us some Hulk Hogan on this program. Without Hulk Hogan, I don't think I would be a wrestling fan. I don't think I would be doing podcast or know you.
Hey, we owe him and Austin and guys like that. I mean, and Vince. I mean, we owe him a lot. Even though I'm pissed off at Eric, you know, everybody wants to think there was animosity with me and Hulk. Hulk didn't sign my checks.
Right.
Eric did. You know, Eric fucked me every time he turned around. And when he sees my documentary, he is still a prick in it.
You'll
know that. Oh, he's still a prick. He's an arrogant prick.
I can't wait to put you guys together. We need to do a StarCast and just do
you got to see what he says to me in this. I mean, and then they go, he said a lot of good things, Rick. Well, this kind of fit the narrative. I said, yeah, it sure did. It's dead on. he's just a prick. I'd love to do it 1-on-1.
I can't believe it. Michigan dominated OSU.
Oh, God. I told you.
I was pulling for Michigan. I was glad it happened. I'm really happy that as we're talking now, the AP has Alabama above Tennessee. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen. Of course, the playoffs are going to be here before we know it. And there's a lot of great football.
We need LSU to beat Georgia. Then Alabama's back in. Alabama plays Michigan, who's going to be ranked number one if they do it the right way tonight. Not goddamn Georgia, who barely beat Georgia Tech. We didn't beat Ohio State. We with our best running back out.
Yeah, you dominated them.
Coral dominated. They need to be ranked number one. Paul Feinbaum can kiss my ass.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. Yeah. There you see Georgia, a 17-point favorite for the SEC championship game.
I know, but at LSU, if they play them tough, then Alabama's back in. Kirby Smart don't acknowledge me. I don't acknowledge him. Kiss my ass. He lost to me when he lost Herschel. When Sophia graduated and Herschel quit going to the games, he lost me at Todd Gurley.
Well, listen, I can't believe this is real, but the one thing we can always count on when it comes down to football, to sit down and watch some football, is Woo Wings. Rick has his very own.
They're all coming soon.
Come on now. Uber Eats and Postmates app. You can find it right now in Nashville, San Antonio,
how
Charlotte.
How can you eat chicken wings that have guns like that? Holy shit.
L.A. Lusa, Huntsville, Concord, Richmond Hill. It sounds like Ric Flair's on tour because he is. Check out RicFlairWings.com. It's a virtual restaurant, and they're looking to partner with major metros, Atlanta, St. Louis, Raleigh, Charleston. Tell your favorite bar or local restaurant you want Woo Wings, and to check out RicFlairWings.com for more information. But if you're in any of those other cities, pull up Uber Eats, pull up Postmates today, and check out Woo Wings. And we'll
Woo Wings
next week, right here with the Nature Boy
and my man Conrad
on To Be the Man.
Woo! Ric Flair drip go woo on a bitch. Woo!